So I am recording. So whenever you're ready, go ahead and get started and we'll be good to go.
Okay.
Sorry, about me.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Why is that coming up?
Oh, no, that's me, guys. Don't worry.
Okay. I was printing it out, but
That's okay.
Printer jammed. So, okay. So, I'm calling the St. Botolph Architectural Conservation District Commission public hearing. Is this meeting?
Sorry, what was that?
Is it public hearing or meeting?
Public hearing.
Public hearing. To order at 19 p.m. on November 18th, 2020. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law. We are conducting this meeting online to ensure that public access to the deliberations of the Beacon of the St. Botolph Architectural Conservation District Commission. The public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions.
Okay. And you can stop right there, actually, Francois.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. So the first application we have is going to be application number 21.0374 SB, which is 116 St. Botolph Street. And that will be Susie. Susie, your name for the record, please.
Susan Adams.
All right. And this is for an application for the rear L, where there's an existing deck that needs to be removed to replace an EPDM roof, and then replace the roof deck and screening with a new roof deck and screening in the same dimension. So Susie, if you wanna just go ahead and kind of talk us through what's going on.
Well, sure. So I guess it was on August 29th, my tenant downstairs told me that there was water coming in down through the walls in two places in the back, like at opposite corners to one another. And so I had a roofer come the following Monday. And he told me that the whole roof had to be done. It's actually been protected by the deck that's been there, but it could be the original one that they put on. And when they first built the addition at the back was in 1935. And I haven't replaced it since then. I bought the building in 82. So it's very old, but it was cracking along the seams where the flashing was. And anyway, it was coming through the walls, and I paid to have someone come in and do a temporary repair on it, but it's been holding, but it's basically got to be fixed right away. It really is quite an emergency repair. Unfortunately, there's a deck on top of it, and then the fence is on top of the deck. So I had to remove everything to get to the roof. So because I had replaced the fence in this picture. This was the fence design that they put in 1935, so it's like 85 years old. It's not the same fence. I replaced it in 87. And the committee then just said, go ahead and put the same design up. It wasn't an issue. But I do understand the new rules are that we're starting from scratch again. Nick's explained it to me. So was to submit a new design. And what I did was I went in the alleys, the alley that's in the behind this fence here is a dead end alley. And then there's one in the alley next to me across the Durham Street. Cause this is, we're on the Durham side street of the building now. I'm on the corner. So I found several designs and I submitted initially, and if you don't mind, I submitted, all right, I know, I see it. I found this one here, which was I'll try to get it closer. I said that this particular design with the lattice on top, I found behind three neighbors' buildings. And well, I spoke to Nick afterwards, and he explained to me that that didn't really seem to be period appropriate. I guess lattice is maybe more Victorian. I'm not quite sure. So anyway, I did a design of, the fence was 7 feet tall, and he asked me if I would lower it, so I lowered it a foot in the design. And this is the 6 foot version. And my neighbor across the street has something similar in that it's vertical boards with a header that's horizontal. Then Nick was really nice and did some groundwork. Well, he did some investigation, and he came up with a period fence that he had found apparently was initially a wash yard fence. And strangely enough, the owner that I bought the building from, he was like the third owner, told me that the back of the building before they built that addition was a wash yard. Now, he never mentioned that it was there was a fence there, and it wouldn't have been that high up as my fence is now, but there could have been a wash fence there. I don't know. So anyway, I did show a few of my neighbors this fence, and they hemmed and hawed and wanted to know, you know, why I couldn't put the same one up that had been there for so long. And I explained, you know, that we were trying to find something more historically appropriate. And I was fine with this design. So as time's gone by, these people have come around. They want to be able to, they want me to be able to repair my roof. They don't want to see me have water coming in my building. So after initial kind of hems and haws, they're okay with it. So what I wanted to show you is that I sent Nick, unfortunately, and I apologize, maybe I should explain this while we were waiting, Nick. The design that I forwarded him this week of the fence, I counted wrong. And I was really confused by this picture because there's 11 boards. And this picture is taller than my fence. This is like a 7.5 foot fence. So I finally figured out last night at 10 o'clock at night why it was not working out mathematically. This is what it's supposed to look like. It's supposed to have 9 boards. Oops, sorry, I'm trying to get this right. If you look at that and then look at this, it looks much more like the fence that you're looking at as size-wise. So, you know, I'm more than willing to go along with the suggestion that I've been, you know, given by Nick, and I'd be more than happy to build this fence instead of what I had before. And I want to make everybody happy, and I, you know, don't want to cause any problems for you. And I need to have a fence because it's pretty dangerous back there. I don't know if you know the area very well, but I really have to have the security at the back of my building. I can't just leave it open. I can't have something low. It's very easy to hop over and break in the building. So because what you're seeing just behind the fence is the first floor, and that spiral staircase goes right up to the second, and it's all open, you know, right down the fire escape. So, and it's also the only access that everybody has from the alleyway to the street if there were a fire in the alley. So, to get down off the fire escapes. So, I guess that's it. You know, we've gone through a lot of back and forth. It's been hard, you know, with COVID, but Nick's been great. I'm trying to and I, you know, acquiescing to like a couple little things, and I, so I'm just hoping that I can get an approval on your design and I can go forward and fix my roof and replace everything.
Thank you so much, Susie. And sorry, guys, my computer apparently was unplugged, so I died for a second there. So I missed a little bit. Yeah. So I don't know where we ended up, but I'll say that my recommendation is based on a similar recommendation that we have in the South End. And that is that it's fine that this roof deck built on a rear L is visible from a public street. But historically, these rear L's looked more like a drying dock or drying deck where people before washing and dryers would hang the clothes outside. So we would want to mimic that sort of architectural heritage there. And so that was my reasoning for requesting the plank version that we have today. Of course, if you prefer as commissioners, the original design that's seen here, you're more than welcome to approve that. But yeah, so that's where we are today, and I'll pass it over to you.
Does anybody have any questions?
I have a question about the gate to the left in this picture.
Yes, that's to get access to the ground in case of fire.
Okay, and is there some structure that to step onto there, or do you just kind of jump?
No, we have actually an aluminum ladder inside.
Oh, I see.
Leave on the deck, but really everyone that lives down that back alley, if that would be the only way for them to get out.
Hmm. Susie, the fence is going to, or the gate will be in the same position that this.
Yes, it would be in the corner. Yeah.
And am I correct? The fence is getting lowered from 7 to 6 feet.
Correct. So right now it's built so you don't see the top of the first floor windows. And I guess you see, I submitted a drawing. Can you give me that top group of papers? No, in the folder.
I think I have it here, Susie.
Oh, you do? You?
I think, let's bring it. Is it this right here?
Yeah, it was the drawing B. That I put in with my original. Sorry.
I mean, I think we get the idea here. So
yeah, I understand. In the material you're using.
Well, the picture shows cedar, but I had discussed. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Basically, I don't know if you can see this.
Yeah, you can see it.
Sorry. Okay, so. Sorry, I just want to take a look. So the top line is where the fence used to be, and then the second line here is where it will be now. So you'll see about a foot at the top of the window now, but it's not enough to be inviting to someone to decide to come in and hop over the fence or whatever, because they could do that with a ladder. That's why it was so high in the first place, but I'm certainly happy with this lowering it a foot. I think it'll still be secure that way. I had discussed with Nick that I could stain it, but cedar is exorbitant. Builder told me that he would charge me $10,000 more to make it out of cedar. Mm. And I can't afford that. I don't know if you're familiar with my applications that I put in like in the last 6 months, but I just had painting and thermal paint replaced. And this just came out of the blue. I mean, I really can't afford cedar. And I did get, some stains that mimic cedar, and you can see the light and the dark version there. And the thing is it has to age for a season. So in other words, if I did this now, then in the springtime, I could do some samples and come back and get your permission to pick either the darker or the lighter version or whatever. But I won't know what the wood's really going to look like or do until it ages a little bit.
Yeah.
So are you proposing like pine? Like what is the wood material being?
Oh, it would be, excuse me. I'm sorry. You did ask specifically. It would be pressure treated. So,
there's no requirement for different or types of wood. So we can just leave it at that for now, Susie, and just see what see what the commissioners say. Yeah.
I drive down that alley daily. So I think anything will be an improvement. And I'm sorry to hear for your troubles. I like the idea of the fence dropping to 6 feet. I'm not personally opposed to vertical or horizontal boards. Question, are you doing any improvements to the flashing like around the perimeter?
Oh, yes. Included in that application was across the front at the front view of it on from Durham Street is a 20-foot long gutter, copper gutter, yep. And that is going to be that long one that you yep. see it doesn't go down the alley side, it's just across the front there, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's been all people came out the door that was there over the years, not before I was even involved. And they just stepped on it and it's all wrecked and cracked and everything. So part of my estimate that I got was having a hand rolled complete copy of the original design
out of copper.
And it costs about $1,800 to have it made.
And there'll be new flashing.
And they'll down the alley and the other side, there'll be all new copper flashing.
Susie, is there a price differential between going horizontal or vertical with the boards?
No, originally the price I got was for the lattice design. And I think that's a little more complicated, but I don't really know. I mentioned that I would have another design, whatever was approved. And they just said, whatever design I wanted, that was the price, and so we left it at that. I don't know.
I don't think it makes a difference.
Hold on one second. Just to give you. Give me that one.
So, Susie, I think what the commissioners are asking is what would be the more affordable option? I think that's what they're asking. They may be.
That's a good question. There's quite a few boards. I mean, I think I counted in the original fence, I think there's 40 boards, or there's more than that, right? So you have 10, 20.
That's 30, okay.
Yeah. They got 50 boards. But, here.
Price is about the same no matter what.
It's still, these boards are a little wider, but there's more horizontal. So I think it's comparable. That's my guess. I don't think it's going to be more. I don't think one is more expensive.
Do we have jurisdiction over the material?
The materials, yes, we do. Yes.
So I don't personally love pressure treated. And, I understand its durability properties, but it does not stain well. It's blotchy. I think you definitely have to season it. For at least a year, probably beyond that. And then I think it really only takes on to more solid color staining. So,
a couple of choices that were in a spirit, and they were close to the brick tone and in light and dark. And I just didn't know which you prefer, but I definitely would get the wood pressure washed first. And I can tell you from experience, what I just had at my house here, done in 2005. So that was a 15-year-old deck. It was the fence part, pressure treated wood. And I could not believe how clean they got it. I mean, the wood looked great. It really, really did look great. I was shocked. And
is
of course,
stained or unstained?
And then took the stain beautifully.
I think it takes stain better as time passes. My concern would be staining it prematurely and it turning into a blocky process, because the pressure treated nature of the wood is to prevent that kind of stuff from happening to it. So, I think like if you were telling us you were going cedar, I would approve, without question. I definitely recognize and respect the price concerns. But I don't love pressure, the idea of pressure treated.
Well, I mean, I'll defer
to the other
people. I have to put something up that lasts. You know, I can't put up just regular pine.
I'm wondering if pine plus stain services the same purpose as pressure treated. I mean, I think more maintenance involved, and I don't want to burden anyone with that, but aesthetically.
I mean, you can't go by what the fence is there now. I understand.
Pressure treated would be an improvement, but it might not be. I'll defer. I've made my point.
I hope you'd approve the pressure treated, only because, it's quite an expense to like do all this, and get the deck as well, I want it to last as long as possible. That's the main. I have to go replacing it again, soon. This is a big undertaking, just the demolition alone. And so I understand your concern, and I have no problem waiting more than, I'm not an expert on this. They said it had the season. So I thought they meant, like through a winter. But if you're saying I should wait a year, that's fine. But I would definitely come back at that time, and I would take some of the materials and leave them on the deck, and then so that I could pressure wash them and get a real true sample color for you with the stain possibilities on, I guess there's two, so that it would be exactly the same materials as the fence that I could show you at that time.
Perfect. Thanks, Susie. Okay. Francois and Barb, what are your thoughts on the pressure treated wood versus cedar versus something else?
I tend to agree with Doug. I don't like pressure treated wood. If cost wasn't an issue, I would absolutely agree to the cedar, but I do understand that there's a very large cost differential for you guys. And I'm just wondering if there is a middle ground. Nick, have you seen any decks built in the South End that, use a different material?
It typically in the South End, because we don't regulate the type of wood in the South End, but what they'll do is it's often cedar or pine, pressure treated pine. So it's sure. Typically one of those two. If it's not visible, they can use composite, but that's not an option here.
Right.
So we're not talking about pressure treated pine?
Hey, hang on, Susie, 1 second. There's a method to our madness. So just bear with us for 1 second. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm thinking that, I would defer to Nick has to say on this. And I think I would prefer horizontal boards.
Okay.
If I could just ask Doug real quick. So you don't care for the pressure treated wood untreated? Is that something that you're not, or you just don't like when it's stained?
I certainly don't like it when it's brand new. And I have seen very botched stain attempts.
Okay.
If the stain works out and it looks the way that I think that Susan wants it to look, then I think that that's an okay result. I just have my concerns about achieving that. Have you looked into the cost differential between pine and pressure treated? I ask because I know pressure treated is more expensive. I don't know how much more expensive. I also know that pressure treated is in short demand right now. So the lead time is extremely long.
Yes,
this is urgent.
It's in short supply. Yep.
There, you know, pine could be an option. I think that the downside for you with natural pine is that you have to maintain, you have to stain it immediately and you have to maintain the stain on it, or else it'll turn into, it'll rot eventually.
So I don't understand. I mean, why would you?
So I think there's less upfront costs with the pine. Longer, there's more maintenance costs with them. There's more upkeep, but it is kind of the middle ground between pressure treated and cedar.
So what are your thoughts on that, Susie?
Well, I'm 72 years old. I'm going to be real careful with my money. I haven't worked in 6 months. I'm a restoration painter. All the museums have been closed. It's been really tough. This has hit me financially out of the blue. It's not good. And I, you know, I guess I just have to kind of throw you at the mercy of, you know.
Is there a cost saving? So can we see, so we can see these two walls, but the third wall, I think you're over on the other side, Barb. Can you see that wall from the other alley on the next street over?
No, I'm the other way, Nick.
You're the other way, sorry.
It's closed off of West Newton Street.
So there's a cost saving opportunity there. We could use the least expensive material on the wall that's not visible from the street, and then use the more expensive materials on the ones that are visible from the street.
I just really would like to use something that would put something there that has the least amount of maintenance. And even if it costs, even if the precious treater is a little more than regular pine, at least, you know, it would be more resistant to, you know, weather and bugs and, you know, all the stuff that happens to wood. And,
sure.
And
so there's one more option here, Susie. And this is not going to be the option that's favored by the commission. I can tell you that much. But if your contractor can work around the existing roof, the existing walls, if you don't touch them, then the work you're doing is exempt. But if you have to remove them at all, then you need to go through this process. And then
I know that it was explained to me by a neighbor, and I don't see how the flashing that goes around the edge really, they're not going to.
It is possible. I can tell you that contractors do this on a regular basis.
Wouldn't we rather have pressure treated than what we see right here, though? Or would that, we? I don't know.
That's a question for the commission. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounded like Doug did prefer it if the only other option were what we have here. Just getting to the staining quality, Douglas, are you saying if you wait the right amount of time, it sounded like Susan is suggesting that she could have sample pieces, and that if the staining didn't look appropriate to us in a year's time, or, you know, we could say, don't stain it yet, wait another year? Is that it sounds kind of crazy, but I suppose it's possible.
My understanding is the longer you wait, the better the pressure treated will take the stain.
Yeah.
It's not my expertise, but I've had a little bit of experience with it. I just think, you know, if we spend time considering the height of the fence and the way the boards sit vertically or horizontal, I think material is of equal importance. And I don't see a lot of pressure treated in the neighborhood, at least like as visible. You know, this is a very visible thing. And I think that it should fit into the neighborhood as much as possible without, and again, Susie, I really don't, it's unfortunate it causes burden. You know, I think that.
Well, it's more than unfortunate. I can't do it. I mean, to put on inferior materials is not good news. I can tell you, I don't really want to put soft pine on up that, you know, I'm going to have to do some, you know, constant upkeep maintenance on. That's going to, you know, mean money down the line, I can tell you.
Is it worth exploring another material that's not pressure treated that might have some benefits that you're looking for?
I don't know what you're, what's left.
Exploring the cost difference, making it tangible.
Here's the thing. My building now has water coming in it, you know, for 2 months. All I want to do is come to some decision, because we've already had one snow, and I'm kind of pushing it as far as being able to get this done.
Nick, is there any reason she can't start the work?
Yeah, there is.
The work can start immediately. And again, I told Susie originally that the work can start as soon as possible. She didn't have to wait for this meeting. The problem is returning the roof deck is the question that you'll need to make a decision over. So she can't return, she can't replace the roof deck until you approve that. But the fixing the roof leak, that can start like now. I just can't guarantee that the roof deck can go back because that's your decision, Doug. So
I'm not opposed whatsoever to the roof deck.
I can't do that. I can't do that. I have to do it all at once. I'm sorry, but if I can't leave the back of my building open, it will be broken into immediately. I find, you don't understand, there's drug dealing, and my yard's full of needles
I live 2 doors.
Prostitution. That back alley there is a dead end. There's a lot of desperation that goes on down there when somebody, you know, gets caught doing something down there. They have to go by you. And
I live 2 doors down, and I have cameras 24/7 running. Intimately familiar with what happens on a daily basis.
I just can't leave the deck open. I can't. I have to come to some conclusion. I don't know what to say. I mean, you want me to do it out of pine, and it's pine so soft, and
I'm only concerned with pressure treated. I think there's other options besides pine. Good. Anyway, I've said enough. I don't want to hog the time in this meeting with my opinion.
Is there any kind of composite that is used for decking now that could be an option?
That comes in colors, doesn't it?
Yeah, composite. I mean, there's all sorts of composite that is used on roof decks. The problem is composite in a historic district is often not the best idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that just came in solid colors that I've seen.
Right.
Am I the only one that's opposed to pressure treated? I guess would be my next question.
I'm not a fan, Doug.
I'm not a fan either, but this is a tough situation.
It certainly is.
I don't think there's much pressure treated, if any, around the neighborhood. Most of the decks are built out of, you know, another wood, and this is extremely visible to the neighborhood. I do understand, your issues, Susie.
This is across the street from me. This is across the street from me. This is pressure treated. That's right across the street from me. You can see it. You can see it from standing on the sidewalk. This is a picture of it from standing on the sidewalk.
Durham Street?
Yes. And the initial design that's next to it, there's three houses after that, right going deeper into the alley. And they all have pressure treated.
So everyone's, I know Doug is relatively new to the district, but every application is reviewed on a case-by-case basis. So we don't know the scenarios associated with the other property. So it's difficult to use other people's violations or non-compliance as a means to approve another project. Now, I also want to point out the fact that technically speaking, roof decks, according to the guidelines, I'm just going to read those for you here. This isn't really a traditional roof deck in the sense of because of its location on the rear L, but the guidelines state, where do we go here? Sorry, guys. Let's see. Sorry, roof decks, including decks and railings, should not be visible from any public way. Partial visibility of the railing may be allowed on a case-by-case basis based on the following criteria: placement to minimize visibility, minimizing visible mass, non-reflective dark appearance, and conformance to the state building code requirements. Any rails must be a black metal. Now, that being said, this requirement is for true roof decks on top of the main structure. This is more of a rear L. So what we see here now is something that we would probably see historically in the neighborhood. So there's that.
Well, if I
one more thing here. Sorry, Susie. Fences. There is a note on fences as far as the requirements, and it says wood, chain link, wire, and opaque fences are not appropriate. Privacy screening should be done with painting. So, what that would say is, though this doesn't directly relate to a roof deck rail, it is talking about fencing, and that it should be painted, rather than stained. I guess I'm referring to so.
So we could
paint it this color.
So we could paint the pressure treated. You're saying then.
That's open for interpretation. So that would be the commissioner's interpretation of that. But you know, there is that possibility.
They do have solid stains so that you can see the wood grain. You know, they have semi-transparent and solid stains, mm-hmm. Which, you know, obviously the solid looks more like paint, but you do see the wood grain with the semi-transparent. It mm-hmm. looks to me like more like a paint. Honestly, it's just that you can see the wood grain.
Yeah. So, commissioners, what are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on solid paint color?
Brown like a door.
No.
What color?
It would be up to you. Pink, maybe.
What about like that?
Well, how about like that's at the door, at the top of the stairs there. I'm sorry. Or if he wants, I mean, I'm open to
a paint color. I just don't know what color.
So right. I would say, I mean, we can look at, let's look for influence, right? So let's pull up my map here.
And I think if you go too dark, it's going to look like a monolith. It's going to, you know, look like a wall. Dark. And
so how would you feel if we did something that complemented the brick, you know, whether it's a, you know, very close to it or a little, you know, you think that would look good?
So let's look around the neighborhood, at least from this vantage point.
Can I ask something?
Of course.
What is the current deck made of?
Pressure treated wood.
And have you cleaned that at all?
A few years ago
we did, yeah. And I was really surprised. It was worn, but I could not believe, honestly, how clean it got.
Yeah, it can get really, really clean.
If you pressure wash this stuff, it looks almost new.
I know, yes.
I didn't expect that, I can tell you.
So what condition is that fence in now?
It needs to be replaced, bottom line. It's pretty damn old.
Okay.
You could pressure wash it and it would look better. That's
okay.
But there'd be boards that would have to be replaced.
Yeah. So well. Yeah, so it sounds like paint isn't as urgent as an issue as repairing the leaky roof. We could defer the paint color to a subcommittee, and the subcommittee would consist of you guys walking by after we find some paint samples that might be appropriate for the district, and then you choosing those colors.
I'm in favor of that.
Okay. Yeah. Susie, what do you think? Would that be okay?
That would be fine. Okay. I really think that would be great.
Okay. So if the commission decides to approve the pressure treated wood, we will come up with a color sampling, and then we'll have them set up. And then once they're ready, I will have to post a notice about a subcommittee meeting, but the city doesn't want us all meeting in person. So the subcommittee meeting will basically be Doug driving by in his car and seeing which color he likes the best. So, all of the commissioners, I'm just being, I don't know. Anyway, so that's what we could do.
Okay.
Well, how can I just ask offhand? I mean, I don't know what the sample, this is speculating, but how do you all feel with making it, or would you feel better, do you think, making it a color that complemented the brick, or something that would be, you said, I think you didn't like it, wanted to be darker. See, the windows on the back are replacement windows. I'm trying to do the whole building. And that way, and they're kind of a dark brown, that dark metal brown that you see. And,
that could be an option. There's also, there's a lot of copper in the neighborhood. We could try like a fadeaway green. We could look at browns. We could come up with a number of different examples, and I could run it by the commission. We could do a mock-up and determine it from there.
I would say like a softer brown would look nice. Rather, I agree with, I forgot who said that. Was that you, Francois? Did you say that you didn't like it to be like a dark brown?
No, I didn't.
That was me, Susie.
Barb? Okay, yeah.
I'm thinking like, a black or something like that would just be too stark compared to
anything else. I agree.
Lighter shade. I would suggest we try to look for examples in the district. Those who live in the district.
Now, the one painted one I found was white.
So,
that doesn't all right.
No, that's not going to work.
So it sounds like we're in consensus about how a potential motion will go. So let's defer the color to. We can defer it to when the subcommittee's there, and I'll check in with the commissioners once we, Susie and I, decide on some colors that we can set up. Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yep. So,
this one thing here, it's getting a little too cold to paint. So I just want to give you a heads up that I might not be able to paint it till April. I mean, I can't paint
cold. That's fine.
Sorry, but it's some winter's almost here.
No need to rush to get it done.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't. Thank you.
Cool. So does someone have a motion?
I motion to approve.
Well, are we approving horizontal?
Oh, that's right. What are we approving?
Horizontal or vertical?
Yes, I would. I could go either way, but I think I prefer the horizontal.
I do too.
Okay.
Horizontal it is.
So this would be approving the staff recommendations, horizontal wood, and a subcommittee to determine paint color?
Correct. So you're going to approve the project with the provisos that paint will be selected at a subcommittee at a later date. Color samples are to be pre-approved by the commission and then finally approved once the mock-up is up in the spring or whenever that will be.
Okay.
Okay.
We could actually do samples right on the wood itself, because if there's paint, we can just cover it. So you could actually.
Correct. Right. That's what we're going to want to do.
Color and one in the next, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. And we can do it on the West Newton side of it. So you know.
Yes.
See it.
Right.
Yes.
Does anybody have a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye. Any opposed? No.
Oh, Nick, were we supposed to like do public comments?
Yes. Is there any public comment? Doug, do you have public comment? There's no public in here, and so.
Oh, there's someone listening.
I just remember that from last time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nobody here, so we're good.
Okay.
Are we done on thank you, yeah, first of all. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's been a great worry to me since I first found out about this. I have an architect waiting now who's going to do the design, and I have to get an engineering confirmation that it is weight bearing. It just goes, you have no idea. It goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
David, get it. So this is
a great
weight off of my shoulders.
Thanks. Thanks, Susie. So we'll be in touch in a couple. I'll be in touch with you tomorrow with next steps. But we do have some other business that we need to get to. So we're gonna move on now, okay?
I mentioned to you, Nick, I don't know if you did go by the building and see the paint, but since the other commissioners are there, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you taking the leap of faith with me to paint my skylight, the verdigris green. It looks absolutely beautiful. My building for the first time actually fits in with the neighborhood. I mean, if you get a chance to go by it, I thank you so much for letting me do that. I really appreciate it.
That was actually the BLC, but the State Patov Commission approved it by proxy in a way. Richard approved it. So you can thank Richard because he's on the BLC. Okay.
All right.
So
all right.
Thank you so much, Susie.
Thank you, Richard.
Be in touch.
We're going to leave. See ya. Thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Meeting minutes.
I know I wasn't at that meeting, so.
Did you send them out by a separate email? I'm just trying to find them.
Same email as the other ones. Let me double check, though.
Really? I think there were three attachments, Richard, on the bottom, maybe.
No, I'm not getting, hold on.
Do you have them, Barb?
Yeah.
Okay, so then I did send them, okay.
I had them too.
Okay.
Me three.
Did you guys make a motion?
No, I was writing. Richard, were you going to read them? Or?
Yep, just give me another second.
Yep.
Sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, no worries.
No rush.
Okay.
I'll make the motion. I move to approve the September 18th meeting of the St. Patolph Architectural Conservation District Committee Commission notes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries.
Okay. Staff updates. So we have submitted a petition to add 1 Cumberland Street into the district.
Yeah.
Are you all familiar with the building?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as of right now, it is not in the district, and the developers of 220 Huntington, which is the current site of the Midtown Hotel, is proposing to demolish it. So we have evidence from the 1978 petition that the 1 Cumberland was left out of the district in error. Barbara was gracious enough to volunteer to support this project. So it will be heard by the Boston Landmarks Commission on, I believe, December 8th. My question to you is, I've already spoken with Susan, and I've obviously already spoken with Barbara, but we could use your support as A, members of the neighborhood, and B, members of the commission. I'm happy to draft up a letter of support for each of you if you do in fact support us preserving the structure. We are by no means asking them to stop this development. We're encouraging this development. We think it's sensitive to the area, but we'd like to see 1 Cumberland saved because it is such an intact building and it has really great details. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts. You know, would you support such a, you know, the preservation, or would you rather remain not or stay out of it? Or it's, you know, what do you think?
I'd support it.
Okay.
I'd support it.
Perfect. So what I can do is, if with all of your permission, I'll draft up a letter of support for each of you. And then I'll just send it over to you to review, and then just put your name on it and then send it back to me, and I'll include it with the petition. Does that sound good? Great. Okay.
Does anybody oppose supporting this?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking the other commissioners.
Oh, okay.
Would it be stronger if we all supported it to have it in one letter?
That would be fine also, yes.
How does it work if I am actually on the commission voting?
Oh, okay.
Get a letter of support from me.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's possible. I'm not sure. Yeah,
it is possible. So you ultimately the real support will be your vote at the BLC, Richard.
Yeah.
But you're on the St. Botolph neighborhood architectural district. So you could also sign this letter from the St. Botolph commission. So yes, you can do both. I will say that I'm just full disclosure that I've spoken with Joan at the St. Botolph Neighborhood Association. And this is very hard for me to say, but they don't care about the property because they want the parking garage entrance to go where the building is. And as a planner, and someone who cares about the city and our historic architecture and the planet, that's like nails on a chalkboard to me as a staff person. But the legislation for BLC says that a representative from St. Botolph can nominate it, as well as the BLC can nominate it. So Lynn Richard has sponsored this petition. So she also lives in the neighborhood. So just be aware that the Neighborhood Association does not support it. They have told me they don't care, which could be indifference.
So the traffic pattern of the garage exiting would be on
Cumberland? But it's not finalized. Keep in mind that these are only renderings that we're looking
at. Yeah, okay.
So there's also an option to put traffic patterns going in and out of the garage at the rear of the property, or I'm sorry, in the alley of the property.
In the alley.
They're also creating another exit way where the current Midtown Hotel, the right side of the current Midtown Hotel, they'll be constructing another alley. So technically you're going to have 3 ways in and out of this building. They could easily move that parking garage. Don't get me started on a parking garage that's only a block away from a T-stop, but that's just my utopian views. So just open and transparent. We really would like to save this building, but we'll certainly need your support.
Nick, just to clarify, the neighborhood association, are they just silent on it as
correct?
They're not opposed to it. They're just silent on it. Is that accurate?
That is a way better way of wording it. Yes, Barbara. So they're as of now, they don't, because they asked, I offered my services to come and present them the challenges faced with this property, and they declined. But their main concerns right now are the traffic that will be caused by this property with a 200 space garage in the basement.
Isn't that exasperated by it being exiting on Cumberland Street?
Yeah.
And I think they're perhaps distracted by the fact that One Cumberland's just like a rental building at the moment.
Correct.
And I think there's bigger issues with making that adjustment. So I'm definitely in favor.
Okay. So I will.
I have to get running. Is there anything else critically important?
Nope. We just need a motion to adjourn.
Excellent. Sorry to rush. Right.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, cool. You're good, Doug. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thank you. Until next time.
All right, guys. I will draft up that letter and I'll get it over to you. And then Barb, of course, we'll chat later. Yep. And this will be, I think it's a really, there's something really, they have the potential to do something very cool with this building. I don't think this should be a hindrance for this new construction. I think it could absolutely complement it. So. Hey.
Just a thought, Nick, do you know of any other project in the city where they've actually incorporated a building, you know, an existing building into another larger project?
Barb, how much time you got? I got a list. Yeah. I mean, basically look at the entire South End. Not to mention, that's a good point, the Alexandra proposal on Mass Ave, it's currently a vacant building. Yes.
I love that building.
Yeah, they're integrating that into a new 13-story tower in the rear of it.
I saw that.
And it's the same architect that's doing 220 Huntington.
Oh, is it?
It's the same architect. David Nagahira with CBT Architects. So we there's potential there.
Wow.
What? And I'll get you a list, actually, Barb. I'll send you guys what some of the local area examples of that are.
Okay. And Nick, can we sit in on that December 8th meeting?
That was my last comment. I would highly encourage that.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
You should.
Yeah. Richard has no choice, but Francois, we would love to have you. Okay. Yeah. All right, guys. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.